Hello and welcome to the Draft Talk podcast, your one-stop shop for all NFL draft needs. And welcome to the second of our top five series. We've done the defensive ends and now we're switching inside to rank those defensive tackles. I'm your host today, Brian, and to discuss, debate and deliberate for us today, we've got Owen and Stu. How are you doing, guys?
Yeah, very good, Brian. Continue along the theme of defensive linemen. This time we move inside to what they call the beef in the middle of that defensive line. Some good players here to talk about, and let's get into it.
Yeah, difficult ranking episode this. There's a lot of players who are likeable, which is a change for defensive tackles for us. There's normally just a couple at the top and then you're fishing about, but this is a stronger class than normal, which is good. So it's a bunch of guys that I'm sure we'll talk about.
Absolutely, yes. The guys have checked all the tape. They've done all the hard work, so we don't have to. And yeah, they've ranked this year's tackle class and come up with their top five, and they're then going to ramp them five up to one. So yes, less waffling by me. Let's get to it. Oh, and I'll let you kick us off. Actually, no, I'll go to you, Stu. Sorry, Oana, you can go first next week, I promise. Give us your number five prospect.
Am I going first again this time? Okay, let's go first. Okay, for me, starting off at number five is Michael Hall from Ohio State. There's a wee smile there. We've had a wee chat about things offline, but we haven't given it away to each other. So yeah, for me, Michael Hall, Ohio State, 6'3", 290 pounds, ran a 5-second flat at the combine, which was a pretty good time for him. I think he's someone who has a really low center of gravity. He's strong enough to shed single blockers. Again, we talked about this in the last episode. He's got a relentless high motor. I think he plays with good leverage. He's powerful and he's physical. He's kind of that three technique penetrating type defensive tackle. He can play up and down the line, and he has done at times. He's played in kind of different alignments, but that's kind of where I see him earning a crust at the next level. He probably has a bit shorter arms than some of the other guys, so he sometimes can get blocked off by these offensive linemen with the longer arms. And he does often leave his chest a little bit exposed, and sometimes that can be due to arm length, so he often can get blocked there. But I think he's a really good player. I think that he can offer something on that defensive line with his versatility. Probably needs to play a little bit more violent for me than he does, and that's why there's guys who maybe have a similar role but are going to be ranked higher than Michael Hall.
Yeah, this is tough to rank because you're not comparing apples to apples. There's different roles along the offensive line and defensive line, sorry. And Michael Hall isn't one of those players that you're going to want holding up the nose, but he is someone that I think you can add to your rotation. I'll go to the strengths first. I don't have him ranked in my top five, I should say. I have him ranked seventh. For me, he is a pass rush specialist from the interior, which is really good. It creates pressure constantly. Very refined pass rush CV, a resume. I like, even though he's smaller, I like the fact he can get low and attack underneath the pads to gain leverage. It mitigates some of that that lack of strength. Gets off blocks really well. So a really good athlete, elusive mover in short areas, explosive first step, and it's got an overwhelming swim move. If he can deploy the swim move, then he's going to get
into
the backfield. Yeah, he's got all the skills to get past the center when he's lined up there. But I'm not going to trust him to take the zero exclusively. My problem with it, he is on the lighter side. I'm not sure. He weighed in at 290. I'm not sure he played at 290. I think
he bulked up for that.
There. And for that reason, I think he gets overwhelmed by power, lacks the strength profile to hold up against the bigger guys. And for me, that worries me against the run. Yeah. And when I look at the problems where when I've ranked players before with this kind of profile, I've not had much luck. So I've gone in a slightly different direction, if you like. The problem is against the run means he's going to be a rotation risk, and therefore how much is he going to play? But I think if you already have a guy there who's a bigger guy, a strong guy, I think Michael could be a real weapon attacking the passer in the next season.
He almost reminds me in a way, although I think he's not going to go nearly as high, of Kalijah Kansi. that kind of frame. You know, they've done really well in Tampa Bay of sticking him next to big Vita Vea. If you have someone you can stick next to Michael Hall in that role, I think that's where he would excel. I think all the concerns you've got there, Owen, is right, and that's why I don't have him ranked higher, because he is a really good pass rusher, and I really do like that role for him, but he just lacks that little bit of extra to be higher for me.
Yeah, and I think overall this class is slightly on the light side, apart from one absolute mammoth man who I'm sure we'll talk about. The majority of them weigh under 300, which is absolutely fine, but I prefer, we'll talk about them, but I prefer the strength profile of some of the others when they have slightly comparable weight.
Okay. Where do we go now? Oh, I will have your number five, please.
Okay, so for me at number five, it's Chris Jenkins from Michigan. I really like Chris Jenkins. I would like to rank him higher. The problem is he's just a run stuffer at the moment and really doesn't offer anything attacking the passer. But that ability to be a great run defender makes him an extremely high floor player. He doesn't miss tackles at all. I think he's got really good mobility. I think he's explosive off the snap. He was more athletic than I thought he would be at the combine, which I wasn't really concerned about. It wouldn't have bothered me what he had, but it was, that's nice to see. Can get low, the strong anchor as well. He doesn't lose balance very often. And he's got the power to make contact every time and hold the leverage for that smaller stature. Which allows him to get under the pads, won't work against everyone, especially as he develops as a pocket disruptor. And yeah, he still has a way to go as a pass rusher for me. And really, he has no tape rushing the passer. You have to watch a lot of him to see any type of pocket disruption that isn't against the run, which is why I couldn't rank him higher. But I think he will be able to start straight away.
Yeah, I really like Chris Jenkins. I had him as high as three. Okay. For all the reasons that you had, I think that defensive lines need a variety of type of people.
Yeah.
And for me, out of all the guys, well, not all of them, but he's one of the best run stuffers that there is about. He is strong as an ox. He's got a really, really strong anchor. He's difficult to move. He's almost like rooted into the ground there. He's got really good hand strength. As you say, his pass rush, he's not beaten, but he doesn't win, is what I would say. It's almost like a stalemate between him and the guys in front of him. I would like him to be a little bit more explosive from the snap, and I think that he has got the ability to become a pass rusher. He's got the physique and everything that if it's worked on. He is small, but I think all these guys are going to be small apart from a certain beast that we're talking about as well. But I really like Chris Jenkins. I think you can plug him in straight away as a compliment to someone else on that defensive line, and he's not going to let you down. I think that, you know what you're going to get. Let's work a little bit on that pass rush profile, because I think it's in there in him. I think he could do it. You know, I've seen him a couple of times with, he has a nice swim move, but the other moves are just, yeah, he's just kind of fighting with the guy, not getting really anywhere. But let's develop him. But I really like his floor, and I think that you can plug and play Chris Jenkins immediately.
Yeah, right. And he's got the bloodlines as well. His dad was a second round pick to the Jets previously, so you know he's made up the right way. So I think he'll be a round two player. I think a team that needs to protect the run, then they won't go far wrong with Chris Jenkins.
Chargers.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, Stu, give us your number four, please.
We've hinted at him. Mm-hmm. Big Tavondre Sweat. It's number four for me. The guy from Texas, he slimmed down to 336 pounds for the 66 pounds for the combine. He is an absolute mountain of a guy, but he shifted himself pretty well. He ran a 5.27. It was quite funny watching a guy that big running at you, because if there ain't nobody stopping him once he got up ahead of steam. He's a massive space eater. He eats up double teams pretty easily, just given the size of him. He's very, very powerful, but he's quite balanced for his size. I don't think you don't often see Tavondre Sweat on the deck. There's a little bit of pass rush there, a bit more than I expected when I was watching him. And he can cave pockets in, you know, just given his sheer girth. I think he opens up plays just due to his sheer size. You know, he swallows up these offensive linemen, and it might allow a smaller guy next to him, a pass rusher, a linebacker coming through to make that hit, that he creates that for them rather than being the guy who's going to get you loads of quarterback pressures and loads of quarterbacks, but he can create those for a team. I think the weight is a concern for teams that he did not weigh in at the Senior Bowl. And we've seen guys who've been absolutely huge before, and it has caused them to struggle a little bit with the potential for injuries and durability. But if you can keep that in check and keep developing, I really do like Tavondre Sweat.
Yeah, so he would have been number six for me. I couldn't include him for the reasons that you said there. The durability concerns for that size do concern me. And because of that size, I think he'll only be able to be used sparingly. He's not going to be an every down player. He just won't be able to be at that size. I think he can be slow getting off the snap when he's left out there too long. He starts blowing very early. He can't do more than a couple of downs at that size. And if he's going to play more downs, then he's going to have to probably slim down some more, which I can't see him doing. But also he had some wasted movement that he's just going to have to limit. You see, he's got that athleticism. You see him trying to pursue players sometimes, and you're thinking, what are you doing that for? You're 366 pounds. Just conserve your energy a bit. Let the linebackers do their role. And so I think he needs to prioritise his strengths a bit more. Needs to add some consistency. He's got absolutely no flexibility whatsoever, which, surprise, surprise, the guy's 366 pounds, but he's an absolute mammoth. And that pure size means he's immovable as a run blocker. As you said, Stu can take on the double teams. Natural understanding for leverage, and I think he's able to burst and act just a complete run stuffer. I think he has more than enough for what his role will be as a pass rusher. And he's an absolute wall to get around at that size. But I just don't know how much he's going to play, and that concerns me.
Good stuff. Okay. All right, let's have your number four, please.
So number four for me is Braden Fisk from Florida State, who had become a bit of a combine darling, but was featuring quite high up in mock drafts anyway. In the two big mock drafts that I'd done, he was a second rounder in both of them. He is an all-time athlete at the position, a combine darling who appears to have rocketed his draft stock, but I don't think he has. I think he's just rocketed his affinity within the media. We're now talking about him more. I'm not sure the NFL teams necessarily are, because I think he's a very good player, and he's not just an athlete. Solid frame. That allows for that elite athleticism, but also allows him to have a comfortable strength profile at 6'4", 292. He can play a variety of alignments, can rush the passer from the 3 or the 5 tech, and I like his leg drive. I think that's some of the best in his class, where he just grinds out and he can win with strength. If he gets the hands off you, he will push you back and not give up. Exhaustive motor. Violent hand usage to attack the chest or attack the shoulder, depending on what role he's going to play. And I think he can win inside and out, which is going to allow him to play multiple downs. Explosive movement means that he can chase down rushers, which is quite something to watch, but isn't necessarily something he's going to do a lot of, but it's nice to have. And just his ability to create leverage, both with overpowering athleticism, elite first step, but also the strength profile to hold up against bigger guys. I really like Braden Fisk. I think he is an early day two player. Doesn't have the longest arms if we're talking about weaknesses, which can impact his tackling range. And it means he can sacrifice some leverage and balance when extending to reach out for tackles. And doesn't necessarily have the hip flexibility, but look, he's going to be an interior guy, so that doesn't bother me. And he's going to be an older prospect. He'll be 24 when you get to the NFL. But I think there's a lot to like.
Yeah, he just missed out for me. I think It's again, we've struggled with ranking these guys, and I don't think you could really argue with any of the orders. I think for me, he struggles a little bit with his pad level, and because I obviously watch a lot of the offensive linemen, which is what I like. Yeah. Just seeing that it affects his leverage against offensive linemen at times, and when you're not the biggest and not the strongest, that does limit some of what he can do. And he again, for me, someone that we talk about exposing the chest, he often gets that the hands into his chest, but he's super agile, super quick for the position. His athleticism is there, and he plays really hard as well. He has become a bit of a darling, hasn't he, after the combine? But you know, it's not, you know, combines don't make players. Exactly. Combines can confirm what you know already. And I think he probably did that because I think he was expected to test really well and was a very athletic player as well. Again, he's someone I think is going to have to sit next to a big dude to get the best out of him. I think he probably has enough that he could probably play that kind of 3-4 eye position. I think that's where he's going to be the best at. Again, I probably wouldn't want him right in the middle of that line and having to take on double teams. But for me, just outside. But again, there seems to be a theme of the types of defensive tackles, isn't there, that are in this draft in general. And he certainly fits in that mold.
Yeah, right. The combine doesn't rocket your stock. The combine gets you on telly, and there's going to be teams going, I wish he hadn't have tested that well, really, because he was going early anyway. He's probably a round two player.
Cool, thank you. Let's go on. Your number three, please.
So three for me is Ruka Roro from Clemson. Nailed that. Absolutely nailed it.
I was worried about that one, but yeah, perfect.
Thank you. It's Ruka Roro.
That's not how he's not in my top five. I can't say his name.
H's are silent. He's from Nigeria, moved to the US when he was 9, so he is really new to the game in terms of when you compare him to these other guys. But I really like his versatility. He can line up multiple different alignments, and he can attack the nose, or he can line up out wide if you want him to. He's done everything at Clemson. When Clemson seemed to have this revolving door, and it has hindered some prospects before when we've tried to evaluate them, where it's kind of, you know, you just want them to nail one thing rather than rotating in and out. You're thinking about the linebackers that have come out recently, like Isaiah Simmons, and then trying to think of those
other linebackers.
Prince Simpson, where you just want them to do what they're good at, but Clemson don't work their defense like that. But I think I've seen enough from Ruka Roro that I really like. The speed to power profile can overwhelm guards. Pass rush and pocket disruption is really good. Quick off the snap, showed really good athleticism at the combine, which wasn't ever a worry, but was better than expected. Especially at the weight, he's 6'4", 294 pounds, which I think he dropped some to get to the combine. He just explodes through gaps. Flexible and bendy when needed. Hands are accurate. Gets off blocks and creates leverage with his hand placement. And I think he's really slippery as well through the middle. Weaknesses, he hasn't been ultra productive because that's not what Clemson really do. And say he's 294 now. They may ask him to add a little bit more weight when he gets to the NFL level, but he'd already gained 20 pounds in the last off season, so he's clearly capable of adding weight. And he isn't necessarily the most powerful of all these guys, but I think he is one of the most well-rounded players in the next tier, because the top two are a class among themselves. But for me, of the next guy down, I think he has the most complete profile.
Yeah, I think for me, if he's going to be the size that he's weighed in, I think his pass rush is maybe not as good as it could be. I think he maybe needs to kind of expand his repertoire. I think he tends to try and win with a bit of power, and I don't think he's the strongest guy to do that. I don't think he's quite... talking about it, pads, for me, that's my big thing. I think he plays very high, and it does allow offensive linemen to get in underneath him and kind of forklift him a little bit at times. But yeah, again, these players who's all around that same height, weight, build, aren't they? And they all want to do the same thing. It seems to be a theme this year. Someone take a punt on him? Yeah, absolutely. I can see that happening. We've seen these Clemson guys, you're right, along that defensive line. We had Miles Murphy in Brazil last year as well. Yeah. Who just... I think if they find a home and develop in that, that's going to be much more. If a team has a plan for our pal Rook, he's going to be. I think that's what they need to do. Right, this is what we think he's going to be. Let's focus in on that. Let's refine that. I think if you just let him kind of go about his business, going all over the line, I think that he maybe not quite develop as much as I think he needs to kind of have a position and really focus on that. For me.
Yep, Rook, he'll be known as going forward. Okay, we've got two left. Stu, give us your number two.
It's going to be interesting to see if we have the same one and two. I think we might, but I don't know. For me, number two is Byron Murphy from Texas. He is just over that 6 foot mark and 297 pounds with slightly shorter arms, but he's twitchy fast. I think he's a lean, muscular, compact guy. He plays with really low pad level, which we talked about these guys playing high. He can get really low and underneath these offensive linemen and penetrate the gaps. He's got really quick strikes from his hand. He's a high motor. I think he's just a really, really good defensive tackle. For me, the reason he isn't number one is I think he tends to get engulfed by larger defenders. They tend to swallow him up a little bit. And I don't think he's as good at double teams as maybe some of these other guys. But high effort, high motor, fun, explosive player, I think he's going to be a real great signing for someone. And I think that he will be easily hearing his name called on day one.
I agree. He's number two for me as well. I would label him as just a pure pocket disruptor.
A nuisance.
The pass. Yeah, and he, at 6 foot and 297, he's extremely comparable to the size of Kalijah Kansi last year, and that didn't stop the Bucks taking him in the top 20. He's a pocket disruptor who can rush the passer and defend the run. But I do have some concerns over his strength profile. But on his strengths first, he's highly explosive through the interior. Unbelievable twitch and athleticism. He's a Duracell bunny, which, you know, he's got that great energy and effort. The burst allows him to be one step ahead of his opponents, and he's off the snap before any others. Attacks immediately the snap and makes sound decisions as well. There's never any wasted reps, and there's a calmness to his demeanor while having that high energy play. Gets off blocks effortlessly, can shed blocks for any player really, and displays lower body strength to extend but stay balanced. I do have some concerns over his power profile, which I don't think is overwhelming. He lacks the mass in his frame to really overwhelm with power through the middle, and adding mass will add power and strength to his game, but will it take away from some of that athletic ability and the leg drive, which can be a bit leggy and slow when he starts puffing. And I still think he can anticipate running lanes. He's exceptional against the pass. It's against the run that the problems show up, but he's got the tools and he will go.
Good stuff. There we go. That means we've only got one player left. Now, I'll let Stu start. I'll let you finish. Who's our combined number one defensive tackle?
It's Jazon Johnny Newton. Was I starting?
Yeah. You can start. Carry on.
I'm sure you said. Jazon Newton is the number one defensive tackle in this class. 6 foot two, weighed in at 304 pounds at the combine. That weight is up, which is good. Physically imposing player, explosive player too. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's, at this point, he's now going underrated, which is crazy for how much he was liked in the summer. Great athletic profile, just an instant playmaker, I think, against the run and against the pass. Speed really separates him, but that explosion off the snap and thunderous power through his legs to propel him into the pocket as a pass rusher with intense speed and really variable pass rush attack. It's great. He plays hard, insane motor, incredibly physical and tough. I think he's the most intelligent of these guys. I think he has the best awareness and anticipation of the guys as well. Plays with his head up, really has intense concentration and never really loses sight of what he wants to achieve on each down. You see there's a purpose to everything he does, and he can counter as well. The weaknesses for me, the weight has increased, but he may also be asked to add some again, which we've said about a lot of these guys, right? It's not a big deal, but it might show up. And the lack of mass in his body can show up when treading blocks against the run. But I think he is a fantastic player, and he'll be a top 15 on my player on my board.
Yeah, number one in the summer, and it hasn't changed a bit. Yeah. There's been a lot of steam for Byron Murphy from a lot of people who seem drafted higher than Johnny Newton. For me, I can't see the life of why.
Yeah. Okay.
Johnny Newton does everything Byron Murphy can do better, yeah, and he can do more.
Totally
for me.
Agree.
I think you could play him. You could play him at the one. You could play him at the three at a push in certain positions. He's bendy enough to even play at a five, I think. Although you'd be a big five, he could play there. He's got really high energy. He's got a good range of pass rush movement. I think Owen's covered it all really, but he's an explosive gap penetrator. I love to see him getting in the backfield and just causing chaos. And you get that pressure in a quarterback's face is they really do not like that. And I think that he has the ability to be right in a quarterback's face very quickly and very early. And I think that makes him a really dangerous player, particularly if you have a team that has other pass rushers as well, and they're not going to focus on Johnny Newton, because if you've got one guy focusing on Johnny Newton, he's just going to blast past them and out-dance them, out-move them, out-power them. And I think that he's going to be a really good player at the NFL level. I've seen a couple of drafts that don't have him in round one. I just don't get it. Personally.
Yeah, he did have a little bit of an injury, which is why he didn't test at the combine and just measured. But I don't think it's.
I don't think it's anything major
injury that
no.
People are going to really care about.
But for me, I think he is a clear one. I didn't really have much of a debate on that one. For me, one of the easier ones. I think there's a few ones that you think is definitely going to be one. Johnny Newton is definitely one of the easier ones for me.
Yeah, and as the NFL has transitioned to a more pass-happy play calling, really, that interior pressure has become more and more important. And that's why there's a bunch of these guys that are really good pass rushers through the middle, and they'll be important to the team. I don't know whether he will go this early, but can you imagine Johnny Newton on the Texans? Now they've got Will Anderson and they've got Danielle Hunter. That's the exact type of thing that they should be doing.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. That's a really good call. What are they picking? 24 are they picking? 24?
Yeah.
Can't remember.
24, yeah.
Easy enough right range for him. Yeah, easy.
I think it will be. I can't see. I think for his floor should be the Cardinals pick later on, which is, was it 27?
Yeah.
He shouldn't get past there because he will be the best player available at that point.
Yeah, I think it's because they have so much other premium positions that at the moment, you know, our premium positions, tackle, corner, quarterback. I think it just bumps someone like Newton down that board a little bit, and it's not through ability by any stretch of the imagination.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Anyone you want to give a quick shout out, honourable mention? Or is that the lot?
I think we've done pretty well this year because we've actually talked quite nicely about defensive tackles for a change. It's been a couple of years we've kind of been, this guy's all right. But we're actually really enthusiastic about a few guys this year. Yeah. So I think we've covered a good range of guys there.
Yeah, I think this class is pretty deep as well. I like a guy like McKinley Jackson from Texas A&M, who's a very athletic player with quick get off and has the power as well. Lacks some length, which may show up against NFL players, but he's a player that I really like. Leonard Taylor from Miami was a player that people really liked in the summer when you think the ceiling that this guy has, five-star player. At this point, I mean, he's got the traits, but he probably is a day three guy at this point. But boy, if you want someone to develop, then he's got some serious serious ability to, especially as a pass rusher, because his athleticism is great and a complete mismatch as a pass rusher. Just a couple of names to shout out. Couple of LSU guys. Mason Smith will go later on, but he's a developmental player. And Mekhi Wingo, who was probably the best one at LSU, has the all-round skill set, but doesn't necessarily have the ceiling that these other guys did. But he's a guy that I'd maybe look for round three, round four.
Just another one to touch on, probably, that I kind of looked on was Dwayne Carter as well from Duke.
Yeah.
I think he's another three tech kind of player. He's another guy who is that kind of just hovering around that 300-pound mark, reasonably athletic. He was just a shade under 5 seconds for his 40-yard. He plays with good power, leverage. He's not as bendy, and he's more of a gap pass rusher than some of the other guys. But again, looking at this kind of grouping of players, he's another one maybe just to keep an eye out for on that day three.
Yeah, good shout out. I would have been fuming if when I'd edited this back, we hadn't mentioned Dwayne Carter, so great shout out.
Okay, guys, before we go quickly, can you remind them of your top five, 5-1, please?
Yeah, so for me, at five was Chris Jenkins from Michigan. At four, it was Braden Fisk from Florida State. At three, it was Ruka Roro from Clemson. At two, it was Byron Murphy from Texas. And at one, it was Jazzar Newton or Johnny Newton from Illinois.
Yeah, so Michael Hall from Ohio State at five. Number four was Tavondre Sweat from Texas. Number three was Chris Jenkins from Michigan. Number two was also Byron Murphy the second from Texas. And number one was Jazzar Newton from Illinois.
There we go. And that is it. That's our defensive tackle top five done. We also did our defensive end on a previous episode. Check that out if you haven't already. And we'll be back in a couple of days with another top five to be confirmed, but I'm pretty sure it'll be an exciting one. But yes, take care and thank you very much for listening. We'll see you soon.